What's happening, America? What's going on? What's going on? This is Mr. Z on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show on BBSRadio.com. Guess what? Yes, I am. Hey, guess what? I'm back in the saddle again. Yeah, hey, folks. It's a beautiful day here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the show today. It's a beautiful day, a little windy day here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Just a tad bit windy. I went outside, had a car cover, it was blowing off. Luckily, the side mirror held it on so it wouldn't blow away. This is going to be a beautiful day here. My allergies are acting up. I wonder why I was sneezing this morning. I walked outside. I was like, oh, the wind's blowing. That's why I'm sneezing. Have my tissue nearby. So, you know, we're going to, if you hear me sniffling, folks, please don't take offense to it and me blowing my nose. I have an interesting show today. I have Luis Barajas on today. He's the author of Small Business, Big Life, also of a new book called My Street Money. I'm going to have him on a Wellness Wednesday. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, folks, and welcome in to my show today. I want to talk about money. I've been going through some things myself. I've been really concerned about finances lately. Taxes are coming up. Everyone's doing their own little thing in life with their money. And me personally, I just said, you know what, let me start talking about money in some wellness things. Doug, I'm not on the front page unless I lost myself. Let me see here. Am I on the front page of BBS Radio? Let's see here. But what I was saying, folks, is this. Oh, I like this man. I like this man. He tells me I'm so naive, folks. I'm green. I've got to learn my my stuff. Well, basically, folks, here's what I've been talking about. I've been thinking about money. And I think I found me an assistant. And Sorry about that, folks. That was a commercial from Ustream. They do that on me all the time. I have to update my Ustream account because basically what happens is commercials pop in. But what I was talking about, folks, is basically money, it makes the world go round. And I have other concepts that I like to put on the air as well, too. But lately, you know, here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Sahara just is going to be closing. 1,000 people or more are going to be laid off. And the financial crunch that we're in, I like turning negative into a positive. So whatever I can do to help people to get to the next level of success in business and life and have fun with it and not let it be so distraughtful, I'm going to do it for you. Because basically, I like it like this. Here's how I put it. I don't know everything, but I know enough in order to bring people to you that can help you out. So it may seem like I know everything. So today I'm going to introduce Luis. Luis, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mr. Z. How are you doing? I hear you got a little bit of allergy going on out there in Vegas.
Yeah, man, the wind's blowing. And I woke up this morning, I was sneezing. I sneezed like 4 times. I'm like, what the devil's going on? And then I happened to look out the window, and the trees are blowing all around. And I looked at my car, and the next thing I know, it's like, oh, good gracious life. It's a windy day today, so I have to have my allergy alerts up on today, so I'll be all right, though. So, Luis, tell us who you are, my man.
Well, you know, I'm just a guy who was born on the poor side of town that made a commitment 20 years ago after working with the super wealthy to come back and help out my community. So since then I have been writing books on actually just, you know, about the real truth about finances and money because, 20 years ago, or longer than that, about 25 years ago, I entered the field of financial planning and I worked in it for about 3 years and I quit and I said I will never, ever, ever work in financial planning because I hate it. It's just about selling products. It's not about helping people. I went out to go work at a firm called Kenneth Limitsall out in Newport Beach, California. And our clients were Donald Brent of the Irvine Company, another billionaire. And actually, I was the original, I was one of the first certified financial planners in that office of about 200 CPAs. And they had asked me to start doing a financial plan for their clients. And I don't know if you remember, like 20 years ago, CPA. And all the promises, so you made. I just felt privileged, and all of a sudden I was doing financial plans for some of the wealthiest people you've been in the country. And then all of a sudden, I had personal tragedy strike. You know, I was raised by my grandmother as well as my parents. And my mom had been with me when she was 15 years old. You keep on drifting, so, hopelessly. The love of my life. And while I was working on a high-profile case at, in Newport Beach, my grandmother always drowned yourself in the bottle on the way to your bedroom. And about a week later, her eldest son, who was my mentor, the man, showed me the love of books. Let him slip away from me. Gotten so much education. My uncle was hold him long an immigrant and hold from Mexico. He did not have a lot of education, but just loved it and learning. And life he taught me to respect books. And he committed suicide a week after my grandmother passed away. He was very close to her. Was having some financial problems as well. Was having marital problems. Committed suicide. And then my daughter was born shortly thereafter. And my first wife went into labor about 3 weeks earlier.
Do you wish for
than she should have been because of all the trauma that was going on in the family. And so I had just done 2 years. I'd seen the birth of my daughter, and that Sunday that my daughter was born, I told my wife, "Listen, I'm going to go home right now.
I wonder if you make it.
I'm going to shower, I'm going to change, I'm going to stop off at a coffee shop and grab myself a coffee. I'll be right
gathering
there."
Tears.
And on the way to the coffee shop, I stopped off. It was Lake Forest, California. I stopped off at this coffee shop. It was pretty dizzy.
Tell me, have you left the darkness? Do you keep on drifting hopelessly?
And I was sitting there having a bagel, I remember.
Can you always drown your sadness in the bottle on the way to your bedroom?
As soon as he started sitting down, I started getting up.
Now, don't let him slip away from you.
It's like when you meet a bit, you know.
Tonight, hold him long and hold him tight.
I told him the same thing. Why can't tell something? Once you have a seat and have a coffee, cup of coffee. And I was very vulnerable. I opened up to him, and we had a 20-minute conversation 20 years ago about a purpose-driven life. And come to think of it, you know, it's about 8 years ago, there was a gentleman, a pastor from Lake Forest, California, who wrote a book called A Purpose-Driven Life. That's about 8 years ago. This man sold 48 million copies of this book. Well, I met this gentleman. And I quit. I gave them a 4-hour notice. I packed everything in a little box, went back to East L.A., called my dad, who had an ornamental iron shop in East L.A., said, "Dad, help me find a location so I can come back and actually, you know, help these people get out of this struggle and survival mindset. And I can bring all the financial planning and all this financial information back to this community." And, you know, I'm just so you know, Mr. Z, I'm the first Hispanic in the country to get a certified financial planning designation. You know, I went to, I got my MBA at Claremont Graduate School. I studied there with Peter Drucker. So I had a lot to bring back, and I had a lot of information, and I realized after working in this community for a couple of years that more financial information wasn't going to change anyway. There were major hurdles and there were major obstacles that were getting in the way of me teaching them about investing in IRAs or opening up mutual funds or how to invest in stocks or bonds. There were really a lot of mental mindset things. And so about 10 years ago, I wrote a book, and my very first book was published by
Joe Berger. I listen to Ron Amatron, Creation, Life Shift Healing.
And it was really more about more cultural mindset beliefs that were sabotaging people's success. And I actually, because of that book, I got a lot of success, and I started traveling the country speaking to non-Hispanic groups. I started speaking to a lot of minority organizations that have more, as many African Americans as Hispanics and Asians, and started to realize that the issues that I was dealing with were not just cultural, but they were more socioeconomic, that people living in specific areas are sabotaging their level of success. So, you know, throughout the years, I've written a couple more books because I realized that if people are going to make it out, sometimes they have to become entrepreneurs. So my next book was Overworked, Small Business, Big Life. And then during the election, I was on CNN on the Roland Martin show. And
this is Mark Omey, and you're listening to the number one internet radio network on the planet, BBSRadio.com.
And so Roland Martin says, Louis, we wanted to talk to you about Main Street. And I said, Roland, I don't know about, you know, Wall Street or Main Street, but I can tell you about the finances of people on my street. And that's how this new book came about. I've been writing it for over a year, and it's called My Street Money, a street level view of managing your money from the heart to the bank. And I've taken everything I've learned from helping people over the last 20 years, the people out there who are struggling, into this book. And right now it's doing gangbusters. It's on Amazon.com, and it's changing people's lives.
Tell me, what makes a successful person between the layman person like me and you or the big people on Wall Street? What's the difference between us or them?
Well, it really is. Let me just share with you. It's really just putting into practice a certain framework that people have learned a long time ago, and I think that it just happens in certain families where it's automatic. They've been doing it long enough. But bottom line, it gets down to mindset. You know, I've always said it, that all wealth begins in the mind. And remember I told you that I had worked with this gentleman who was, his name was Donald Brenn of the Irvine Company, the CEO and the owner of the Irvine Company out here in Southern California. He told me something very curious. You know, he realized that I was the only minority working at this big firm, and he said, how'd you get here? And I started telling him my story, and then he said, well, Louis, I can tell you something about that I've learned over the years. And he said, listen, poor people know everything. Rich people learn everything. And I thought that was really interesting because it's true. When I came back to the communities, I realized that I had a hard time teaching certain skills and certain frameworks to certain people because they just thought either, one, they were helpless and couldn't learn anymore, or just they thought they knew it all and didn't want to learn anymore. And it really begins with having an open mind and really just taking a look at and role modeling what other successful people have done. And it's really not that difficult. And that's what I've written in the book, My Street Money. I've written actually what I call the confidence cycle. And that's the framework to at least living with a life of financial dignity.
Oh, financial dignity. What do you mean by financial dignity? Let's talk. I like the way you phrase that. What do you mean by financial dignity?
Well, financial dignity is making sure, you know, most people, you know, watch a lot of television these days, a lot of reality shows, and everybody's driving a Bentley, everybody's living in a mansion. And I think that the average person out there that I talk to, they don't really care about that, but they would like to have a home in a safe neighborhood. They would like to own a car that doesn't need to get fixed every couple months, you know, a nicer, newer car. They do want to have access to good health insurance when their children are sick or when they get sick, to be able to go, instead of going to a county hospital, going to a doctor of their choice. They do want to be able to start setting some money aside and not depending on Social Security, because most people, as we know, end up after the age of 65, you know, dead or broke, and with no money, and they believe that Social Security is a retirement fund. And most people aren't putting money away, at least on my street, they're not putting money away in their retirement plans, and most people want to have some extra money. You know, the number one reason for divorce is financial stress. Since this is Wellness Wednesday, you know, when you don't have any money, you're not sleeping well at night. You're edgier.
No.
You're short, you know, with your speech. You're a little bit more rude with your spouse. I can see why those cause a lot of problems. You know, communication skills go down. People get stressed out. People say that, you know, a lot of doctors will tell you that cancers and other maladies will happen because when people are stressed out. And the number one reason of stress is lack of money. And so financial dignity for me is when it's all said and done, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You're not going to take anything with you, but it's nice to know that you lived your life on earth you know, with at least the necessities that you had enough. And so that's what I want to teach people. So, you know, I talk about that in my book, and one of the things I talk about is, besides most financial planners will talk about saving and spending and insurance and investing, the very first thing I talk about there's five areas to what I call a My Street Money Plan, and it's earning. And most people do not focus on their earning potential. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that, you know, as we
you
go
know what?
This program.
No, here's the thing. The show is not about me, my man. The show is about you and my listeners. I'm here just to facilitate, to help you get your word out. So whatever you want to talk about today, buddy, this is your hour. So tell us who you are again, so that way they'll know that I don't just have some jackleg man just talking gibberish to them. Tell them and where your appearances have been, please.
Well, you know, I have the last few years I've written four books. I'm working on my fifth book. I've published with some of the major publishers in America. I've traveled internationally and now been speaking all over the country. I'm a regular on the show called Tell Me More with Michelle Mark on National Public Radio. I'm one of the financial coaches. One of the
always
financial like coaches
White
on
Christmas
that show.
On the radio.
News. I've been on CNN Your Money. I've been ranked
Jimmy
one of the
Stewart
top
looks great
100 planners in
white
America by
TV.
Money Magazine.
All the
I'm
colored
the first,
lights that
minority
sparkle
first Hispanic,
in the snow.
I've got, you know, I've
seen and heard it all before, but right now, oh, it's so much more.
Here,
street
corner
center with
the
Sally Ann.
I'm not there trying to sell
last
insurance.
Last minute shoppers
my
with their gifts in hand. This year, suddenly, it seems those sweet familiar scenes. Since you walked into my life, turned 10 times as sweet, and it's you. Oh yes, it's you. That's making everything about the season seem brand new. And I won't say that Christmas hasn't had its wonders. What makes this one more wonderful is Christmas with you.
I'm gonna help my family so you don't have to struggle with that. And what I do now is when I go out there and talk to everyone, I
hanging balls
this,
and tinsel on the
really
Christmas tree.
Like my parents. And to me, it's
always has been fun, but it's more fun this time.
That mistletoe
means so much more to me. Now that my lips have felt your kiss, Yuletide was never quite like this. That Charlie Brown special always touched my heart. This year I'll watch it with you in my arms.
Could
its magic be improved?
My job
I guess it can, who knew? Precious moments made more precious.
And she worked in real
estate.
And I want you to get back to this topic as well.
You.
What do you think sort of
yes,
in America?
It's you
that are out there.
That's making everything about the season seem brand new. And I won't
is there
say
over with,
that
or
Christmas hasn't had its wonders. What makes this one more wonderful is Christmas with you. Who knew that Christmas could get better? It's always been my favorite time of year. But now we're spending it together, and its meaning's never been so crystal clear.
And
you.
A bedroom and
you. Oh, yes, it's you.
One of the things
that's
that I know you can't
this season seem brand new. And I won't say that Christmas hasn't had its wonders. But what makes this one more wonderful is Christmas.
Go out there, and she's really great at doing this. Well, let's help her build a little, you know, home, you know, mom and pop, small business from the house. Let's help her do that. We can, you know, she can take care of her kids to earn extra income. There's always something you can do, but it requires, you know, a team of people. And that team of people is just people around you that can help you brainstorm ideas. And that's a wonderful thing that you have. It's all about intention and attention. Intention is planning it out, thinking it through. And so I'm going to quickly go through what I call, we can give her this recipe here. I call it the confidence cycle. And there's actually just a few steps. So the very first step is called clarification, clarify. Be really clear of what you're trying to do. So in this situation, you're trying to create more income for what? For her to live a better quality of life. Once you understand what the end point is, you have to begin with the beginning, right? Because you know where you want to go. So the second step is, after clarify, is collect. What are you going to collect? You're going to collect and organize where you're currently at, your financial. She's getting Social Security. Maybe she can do a reverse mortgage on the house. Where are we at right now? And so, because you know your end point, now we want to know the beginning point. The third step, and the third C, is we need to create a plan. There's a gap there. And so we've just started, we got together, and we're brainstorming, and we're throwing ideas out. And then once we get all these ideas, say, hey, this would work, this would work. Now let's think about this and how we're going to make this happen. So you create a plan. That's the third C. The fourth C is you want to communicate and collaborate. When I say communicate, is you got to tell that plan to other people to see if it sounds worthy following through. And other people will tell you, well, there's, you know, a hole in this plan, and maybe we can do this to make it better. So you want to communicate your plan, and you also, if you're doing something with a spouse, you want to make sure they have buy-in as well. And the collaboration part is asking yourself, who's part of my circle of support? Who can help me? Who can help me actually execute this plan? And for a lot of people, for example, when it comes to their finances, it might be an insurance agent, it might be an accountant, it might be, you know, a financial planner. It could be a lot of different people. The next step, the next C, is I call them commit and compare. You know, so you have the best laid out plan. You thought it all through. You need to commit to it. You need to follow through. You need to take action. That's what needs to do. And, you know, they say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. You need to commit. And that's, and most people, that's where they falter. And then compare. Compare is just monitor your progress. Figure out where you're at. I mean, if this goal is to change your life in the next, you know, 12 months, where are you 6 months from now? Where are you 9 months from now? Do you need to make any adjustments, any changes? And the last step is that, you know, most people who do follow this process, they always end up hitting their goals. You know, I've seen it time and time again. So the last step is to celebrate and contribute. Every time you reach a significant goal, you need to share with other people, celebrate with them, and contribute means, what I mean by contribute is show other people how you did it. Your job is to be a role model for other people. So I may not be great at a lot of stuff, but I may be good at a few things, and I'm good at finances, so I want to share that information, and I want to show other people how I've done it as well. So it's what I call the confidence cycle, and that's what you're going to find in my new book, My Street Money. That's just a certain part of the book.
Now, here's my problem with what you say, celebrate. I don't like sometimes to let people know what I'm doing, because I've found in the past, if I talk too much about my goals, my dreams, my aspirations, sometimes they falter. I don't know why that is. You ever notice that? So sometimes I just like the proof is in the pudding. That makes sense. So I just kind of see my work. This is what I've done. I don't brag. I don't boast. I don't celebrate. I just keep going to the next milestone. Is that bad or good, you think, Lewis?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on the person. It depends where you're at and you know, what level of support you have. One of the problems is that I actually like to make an announcement, because to me, commitment is saying, hey, guys, this is what I want to do, and I need your support. For example, you know, over the last couple of years, I've had a couple of surgeries. I had shoulder surgery, I've had knee surgery, and I wasn't able to be really mobile for about a year. I've been riding a lot, I've been sitting on my butt a lot, and I gained a significant amount of weight, like 25 pounds, and over the last couple of 3 years. So one of the goals, I said, hey, guys, you know what? I've got to lose some weight, and I've got to lose 35 pounds over the next, you know, few months. And because I've got a new book out, I'm going to be doing a lot of television. I don't want to see, you know, a fat Lewis on television. So I need your help. And I've got a staff of 6 people here in my office, and they've been so supportive. they make sure where I'm having lunch, you know, even though they're still ordering their burgers and fries, that I'm having my salad, and they're not taunting me, and hey, we know you can do it, and, you know, they don't bring in, normally they'd have donuts here and cookies and whatever, because everybody likes to cook here, and they've been holding back on that stuff because they want to see me hit my goal, and they're very supportive. So now, if I were in an environment where people were not supportive and they were taunting me, it's like, oh, you know what, it's okay to be bad. Here, have an extra cookie. You know, I may not want to tell anybody because it's like reverse psychology, right? So it depends on your situation. As I've always said, you know, your life really depends on who you hang out with. And
so that I can keep myself from wondering where
you've been. And I think it's really good. Now, I don't make every goal, but you know what? I get close to them, and sometimes I learn from that, because sometimes I make goals that are just way too above my head that I should have made. But even though I don't reach that goal, I get close enough, and that to me is a way to celebrate. And so, I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. You may have been disappointed by people.
I can't keep from grinning when you look at me that way.
This is the BBS Radio Talk Show, folks. My name is Mr. Z. I am here with Louis Brajas. My Street Money. Now, here we go. This is Wellness Wednesday, folks. If you have any questions for the gentleman, please give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. I am going to have some books in the audience for giveaway today. So anybody wants to have any books, please give me a call. Or call me on my personal cell at 702-771-8450. Email me at mrz@liveone.com. Today's Wellness Wednesday. And also, catch up again. Hopefully, you'll be on my Sunday show. Get that on the internet stream as well, too. And I have on
YouTube.com.
I think I'm going to hire me. I just want to have a quick scenario real quick. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Pay attention to details in life. Here's what I want to put in real quick, but I'm talking real quick. I'm going to go back to Louis. I put a query out for and I asked him to put in the best name. Exactly what I was saying. You know, I got to pay attention to folks. Is that right, Louis?
You know, Mr. Z, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think that that's one of the biggest myths that we have is that right now, because you're seeing that the economy is bad, but all I do is I continue to attract people who have money, and what I realize is the biggest difference is how they think, and especially how they think about how they can earn that money. Let me give you a quick belief of what I constantly see out there when I'm talking to people about the whole concept of I call effort versus reward. Imagine that you earn, you know, $40,000 a year, working 40 hours a week, you know, and you say, you know, I listen to Louis, I listen to Mr. Z, I really want to do well, I want to give my life, my family financial dignity, but I really need to be making $80,000. And the problem is that the mindset, the way the mind works, well, if I work 40 hours a week making $40,000, I'm going to have to work 80 hours a week to make $80,000, right? That's how the brain works. And so I ask people, do you know people out there who are making $80,000 a year, $100,000 a year, who only work an average of 40 hours a week or less? you know, my average the average person that I work with is making about $150,000 to $200,000 a year, and they work about 35 hours a week. So, they, well, you know, we need to turn that mindset around. So, okay, well, Lewis, well, then how do they do that? Why would they how do they make so much money working the same number of hours? Because in that hour that they work, they're providing more value. It's not about the time involved. It's about the results that you're creating. And so what has to happen is you have to have a plan to become more valuable. So let me give you a little quick script that I think people can use today if they're listening to us and if they're working for somebody else so they can have a plan that I guarantee you by the end of this year, they'll be earning more money, at least become more valuable for their employer or for someone else. They need to sit down and talk to their employer today and not ask for a raise, because asking for a raise, if they're not going to provide more value than they're doing now, they're not going to get it. But they do need to go into whoever the person is responsible to move them to the next level, say, listen, Mr. Gonzalez or Mr. Campbell, I would like to earn more money to give my family a better quality of life. But I would like to ask you what I need to do differently, what results I need to create, what better results do I need to create in my job, or what skills do I need to learn to be better at what I do. And let them tell you what it is, because if you ask people who are the people responsible for moving to the next level, they will share with you what they know you need to learn to get to the next level, and then say, okay, I think if I can get that done, and it takes me 6 months or 3 months or whatever, would I be at the next level? Yes. And what would I be worth to you at that point? Because what you need to do is you need to put in the effort to become more more valuable and provide more value for not only for your customers but for your employers and, that, like you said, for the universe. You need to have a plan, but most people go to work and then hope that they get this 3% inflation raise every year or hope that they have a job or hope that when they will be given a raise and the raises come by a chance of whenever the boss, they need to stick out like a sore thumb. And you always need to have this intention and then pay attention to what's important and valuable to other people. What you think is important may not be important to what your boss needs.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of that aspect as well. It's something you said earlier, and I try to change my mindset with that. So, like, if I work 40 hours and I make this amount of money, if I work more hours, I can make a little bit more money. That's not smart thinking. That's just really putting more labor intense into it. And what if something happens to you? Are you going to be able to put more time in if you're hurt? I think you should use your mind a little bit more sometimes than just the physical aspect of going in, clocking, and pushing a time clock. Does that make sense, Lewis?
Absolutely. And it's not even like you said, a lot of people who are working in office jobs are using their mind all day long, but they're not using it strategically. One of the things that we need to do is when you take a look at and you see the high-level executives at big, big corporations, they're the ones that are working on.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Thanks for listening to Songs
then
from My Stories on Toll album. Copies of the album are available from cdbaby.com/cd/PeggyLee. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
He's not sitting there making you the cappuccinos anymore, making you the coffee lattes or the caramel macchiatos. He's got people who do that. Now, they're there thinking, but they're working in the business. And I take a step back. You're your own corporation. You're your own business. Take some time to work on your life and on improving, growing yourself. And that's what you're talking about, is taking a step back and say, when do I ever do that? Because people come home, they're exhausted from having a work all day long where their brains are tired from thinking about, stuff that's not maybe as important. Then they're so exhausted, they have dinner, they have to do laundry, they have to pick up the kids. Then they watch numb reality shows that aren't really making them any better, instead of reading a book that's going to improve their skills or going online and learning something new. And then they're exhausted, they go to sleep, wake up and do the same thing, and then they can't wait for the weekend. Honestly, the people that I know that are real successful can't wait till Monday because they love what they do. For me, it's like, I don't look at thank God it's Friday. My thing is I can't wait till Monday, because Monday's a fresh start to my week, and I know that I'm going to help people out, I'm going to do different things, and I'm going to focus on growing as well as a person. And so it's just looking at your life and inspiring yourself. Because one thing I've learned is that people can be motivated, but motivation is an external pressure. You know, it's only when they are inspired, when they figure out themselves what they need to do something different, and they actually take that step, that's when they get it going. That's when those flames are burning hotter, and that's when they actually reach their goals. But again, we don't even know that we're thinking a certain way, and that thinking is stopping us from making money. One of those limiting beliefs about money is people do have conflicting beliefs about money. They believe that, you know, money is good or money is bad, when really they're conflicted. They don't really know which way to go. And so, you know, we should talk a little bit more about that.
Well, here's it. We're at the time at 9:35 Pacific Standard Time here in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Mr. Z on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I'm here with Louis Rojas, the author of Small Business, Big Life, and the other is Street Money, right? My Street Money.
It's My Street Money, and it's a street-level view of managing money from the heart to the bank.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me this. Do you trust banks?
I do trust banks in the sense that I'm going to go use banking products, meaning that I'm going to use a checking account, or I'm going to go get my credit card, or I'm going to go open up a savings account and I'm going to leave my money there, and I know that it's guaranteed for the first $250,000. What I don't trust is I don't trust people who are going to try to sell me products that I don't need. I think banking institutions are fine. They need to use banking institutions. I'd rather have them do that than go to a check cashing place where they're charging them a lot of fees, or where people are working mostly in cash and they leave the cash at their home, where people can get ripped off or homes burned down, and you know, or they if people know that they're carrying cash, a lot of cash, you know, they're subject to some kind of a criminal activity, or, you know, getting ripped off. So I do trust banks from that perspective, but what I don't trust is I don't trust people who you have to be very careful about who you're dealing with. Just because somebody wears a suit and a tie or a nice dress, a very professional attire, doesn't mean that they're professionals and they have your best interests at heart. You really have to understand that very few people out there working in the financial planning industry are what I call fiduciaries, meaning that they have your best interests at heart first. And if you're going to work with, you know, financial advisors, you want to look for somebody who is fee-only, and you want to avoid somebody who's going to be getting paid commission. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody's listening to me and they're selling products that they're bad people. No, absolutely not. But my experience over the last 20-something years tells me that more people than not who are selling commissionable products need to create some kind of sale. And in their head, they rationalize why they're doing that, and they think that they're doing something good for themselves and for their clients. And sometimes that's not true. So you need to ask people if you're going to be working with somebody who's going to sell you some kind of mutual fund or a new industry or whatever, is how do you get compensated? What are your professional designations? Are you a registered investment advisor? Mr. Lee, did you know that unless you are a registered investment advisor, you cannot give investment advice? And did you know that 95% of the people in the investment industry are not registered?
No, I didn't know that. So like the Edwards, like the what was that Edwards company and a couple other ones. Give me a couple of names of some of those people. What I'm thinking about, like the investment. I'm a layman, so I'm trying to put it in the right term. I know I've got a great part. You have to be certified for it, right? So like financial planner,
you have to be certified. No, check this out. No, I'm not even certified. Now, we have another designation that are certified financial planners. If you're a certified financial planner, it's financial planning. It gives you advice about insurance and retirement plans and estate planning and tax planning. You can give them to a comprehensive plan. But unless that certified financial planner is also a registered investment advisor, they really can't give you investment advice. So then you go to these other places like Merrill Lynch and Edwards and the Ameriprise, and they say, well, why do they give the investment advice? information about the products that they're selling. And the business advice is incidental to what to the product. So they can tell you information, financial information about their product, but they can't sit there and take a look at all your investments and coordinate it and create an investment plan for you. And so a lot of people don't understand that, and so they're not just getting investment advice, they're getting actually more financial sales. The industry is extremely unregulated, and that's one of the things that you want to know. Now, one more thing. If you are not a registered investment advisor, technically, your fiduciary, the person that you are responsible for, is the broker-dealer, or the insurance. If you go to a registered investment advisor, they're going to be responsible by law, they don't have somebody that they sell, that they have to be, not only that, but they can't even give you referral. They can't even get referral fees. So let's say you come to me, Mr. Z, and I know that you need an estate plan, and I'm going to refer you to an estate planning attorney. And I'm going to refer you to my friends that I trust that he's going to be a that. I can get a company for that. I guarantee that.
Wall Street, dude.
So these RIAs, registered advisors,
they're all over the country.
They are in Las Vegas. They are in every one of the houses. About their finances. And here's the thing, like you just said, you were talking earlier about maybe sometimes not getting support from everybody, is that you want to work with people. You want to be surrounded with people that you know have your best interests at heart. You want to find the best doctor you can possibly have. You want to find the best financial advisor you can probably find. You want to find the best insurance agent. You want to find whatever you need. I don't care if you're a mother and you have children and you need a babysitter. You want to find the highest quality babysitter who's going to take care of your kids better than anyone else. So these are people that I call part of your circle of support.
Now, tell me this. Here we go. I asked you about banks. I don't trust banks, so I have to bank. I have a banking institution I bank with.
What way?
Well, it's just the fees they throw upon you, and it's like almost like the airline industry. Whatever way they can find a way to make a buck off the consumer, they'll do it. And us as consumers almost have to go along with the fees they put out, because we have to use banking institutions nowadays in order just to survive. I mean, we're going to a cashless society. Let's be realistic about it. We really are. I mean, it's not that I'm not trying to be paranoid.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, I do really agree with you there.
You know, and it's coming to the point where, as you know, somebody's regulating my own cash. I mean, I've got people looking over my shoulder, regulating how much I spend, how much I don't spend. At any given time, the government wants to say, hey, look, we don't like the way you're doing life. And if I don't have any cash on hand, they want to seize my money. They can seize my money through the banking institutions. I don't think that's fair. So me personally, I tell people all the time, keep some money in the bank, but keep some cash on you. Now, me saying that, What do you think about people investing in, like, stocks and bonds or gold or silver or any type of precious metals or any paper certificates? What do you think about that, sir?
Well, let me tell you what I think, and I'll be honest with you. First of all, be wary. Just like you're wary of banks, I'm wary of anybody who will tell you what the next big thing is going to do or which big investment. Let me just share with you that I come back from an academic background. And I have read every white paper study there is on investing and investments. And to this date, there isn't any study that can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt of anyone, I don't care who's on television telling you which stocks to buy or sell, of anyone that can tell you what the stock market's going to do in the very short term, today, tomorrow. We know that over the long term, with a very diversified portfolio, and I'll tell you what diversification means because people get really confused with that. People will do well in the stock market, but diversified. The problem is that for the average person on my street, they don't have enough money to build a pool of diversified stocks, individual stocks. And so what they need to do is they need to invest more like in mutual funds. Okay. So that being said, just know that there isn't any, if anybody's telling you this thing's going to do better and we're going to make a lot of money and you're seeing all the people on television that are touting gold right now, because what they do is they really go on people's fears. Fear or greed? Fear or greed. And that's the reason most people do not make money in the long term when they invest their money, because they are either too scared and they put it underneath the mattress. For example, in March of 2009, when the Dow Jones hit around 6,400, that's what the Dow was at, that's when basically everybody felt the sky was falling. And people called me, and I did a television show that day on CNN. And I also did a show on National Public Radio on Tell Me More. And they asked me, Louis, what would you do right now? Where do you put your money and where do you hide it? And I said, oh, my God, I'm looking for every nickel and dime to put back into the market, because when everybody's panicking, is what you should do is the opposite of what people are doing. Always.
Hey, this is Vinny James, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
So don't follow their lead. Go do what the opposite they're doing. Well, what's happened since then, even though we're having the tragedy that we were having in Japan and the market's down right now, we're already like at 11,800 in the Dow. You know, you would have almost doubled your money just in about a year and a half. So the same thing, what's going on with gold? What's going on with gold? Every commercial you see on regular television during the day in which people who are not working are looking at, they're telling you gold is the next big thing. It's already at 1,300. It's going to make you a lot of money. It's too late. Gold is already too high. And so, but what they're really going after is the greed factor right now. This is where we're going to make money. This is where we're going to make money. And I guarantee you that over the long run, you're going to lose money. On the long term, most people have not made a lot of money in gold. The average gold investment has earned about maybe 4 to 5% long term, where if you have it in a nice, you know, stock portfolio of mutual funds, you've earned about maybe 8, 9% in the long run. So just be very wary, and what I take a look at is this. When people talk about diversification in their investments, is that doesn't mean that you have five different banks that you're working with, or you're working with five different financial planners. Meaning, it means that you have your money in different what are called asset categories or asset classes. And with stocks, you have things, for example, large company stocks and small company stocks and international stocks. And when you buy mutual funds, you can buy mutual funds at no cost to you that invest pools of people's money in these different asset classes, these different categories. An ideal place to go to, for example, is like Vanguard, Vanguard.com. It's the largest mutual fund company in the country that has the lowest cost, that has actually no commissions, no cost whatsoever. You can go directly online and build a little portfolio for yourself through there, better than trying to somebody sell you something that you don't really need. And get educated, you know, Mr. Z. The thing is, that's why I write these books. I write these books for people to read, and I write them at a level for the unsophisticated, because everything I do behind, you know, in my mind, I'm saying I'm writing these books for my mom and my dad who didn't have a lot of education, and I want them to get advice that's pure and with the intention to really help them so, you know, going forward, their lives are better, not worse.
Okay, here we go. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z. Well, I cannot give advice on things I do not know about. So what I do here is I bring people such as Louis Brojas here, the author of a great, great new book. And he's going to tell you more about this book. And I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm not going to say anything at all because this is his time for him. I'm going to ask him any more questions. So, Louis, the reason why I have you on today is I really want you to pub your new book. Tell us who you are. And I'll let you take us out today. So whatever you haven't covered that you want to cover, go for it. And I won't say anything at all. Please.
Thank you a lot, Mr. Z.
I got a call from Sarah.
The title of my new book is My Friend. And it's a street level.
Said she was in town. It was time we met again.
Because my belief is that I've never
wondering how she was so many years had passed. She had always been the kind who could make things last. She told me she'd been married, and of the kids he'd left behind. She was doing better now,
and they couldn't find what I call a My Street Money Plan. And those five
she was doing better now.
protecting and investing.
Lord, did it take
time? Talk about how to rebuild confidence. What happened?
I met old Mr. Jenkins. He always makes me smile. Carried a big old box. We stopped
and
talked a while. He mentioned J.F. Jr. The curse in the
umbrella.
But then again, he said, we're millions full. Nobody cried. He had a serious problem. The damn thing went and stopped.
I talk about, you know, your life and how that
been 50 years of company.
When I talk about mindset,
this old wooden
thing. I've always in all my books. Find the book.
50 years of company.
Find the book on my website on www.rockhound.com.
I'm going looking for the reason.
You find me on Facebook. One of the things that I offer to everyone.
Because in time they'll fade away. And the rules they just keep changing every day. In the games that people
play.
Walked into Harry's place.
I will answer for
the
three. There's no gimmick, there's nothing. My job.
So James sat there with something on his mind. He asked me to jump in, which I was glad to do. He was shining like a diamond, lift up in.
That's all I want to do. That's the whole thing.
He had something to tell me. Personal knowledge. He suggested marriage.
If their family
James simply said,
you're not going to find a good book. You're not going to find someone who's going to tell you.
He suggested marriage. James smiled and just said yes.
Don't do that.
Don't go looking for the reason.
Because
in time they'll fade away. And the rules they just keep changing every day.
And I will
do the game
not
people play. Step right up and take a gamble.
Come on.
Yourself locked away. Take a chance and let the dice roll as they may. In the games that people play.
And I want you to understand that I've got letters coming from all over the internet. The first one is the book I've ever read. Cover to cover, I just put it down.
The games that people play. Don't go looking for no reason.
That's what the book is about.
For in time they'll fade away.
It'll help you out as well.
And the rules they just keep changing.
Help it.
I really appreciate that. It's so tough. I'm going to try to focus on my Sunday show.
I will be on your Sunday show. You're a really wonderful guy, and I know that what you're trying to do is you're trying to do the same thing. You've got a certain passion to help people, and who doesn't know that, right? You express that, and it comes out through the radio waves, and everybody knows that. So if there's anything that I can do to help you, just let me know as well.
I truly, truly appreciate that. Now, here we go. I've got something that I want to ask you, and it's something that I really, really want you to be open and honest about it. Does money have color?
Money's green, you know, and money's green. The
problem
is...
Do you know what I mean by that? Do you know what I mean by that, sir?
Go ahead and tell me what you're thinking about.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. Economically, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, does money have color? Does money go to one particular race or one particular color more than anybody else? Let's be realistic about it. I just want to know. I mean,
yeah, I used to think that. Let me just share with you. I think that what happens in America is that we still have sometimes we kind of sabotage our way of getting money, and I think that we over the long term we've had problems of having access to that money because of, in different ways, of education, for example. For example, one of the things that I'm really concerned about is diversity in the financial planning industry. I don't know if you know, but, for example, there's an organization, the largest financial planning organization in the country, has less than 4% of the entire organization of 28,000 members, the entire, less than 4% of the financial planners are African American and Hispanic. Now, if you take a look at the demographics in America, we've got about 15 to 16% Hispanic, about 13% African American, and yet we're only represented about less than 4% in the industry. So if you're talking about that kind of color, absolutely, money, you know, does have color in the sense that it's going more towards the affluent, you know, Anglo, old, you know, men. Those are the people who are running the industry. And that's why one of my goals is also to inspire people who are listening to us, young children, people who are in college, to seek out the profession, to get into it so they can help their own communities out. Because until that happens, until we're committed to helping our own people, then, you know, it does have color right now. But it's going to change because the demographics in America are changing. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Z, if we don't bring in revenue and we don't educate our own people about money and how to use it, we're in big trouble.
Well, here's something that I've kind of noticed, and that's why I asked you if money has color.
Okay.
Do you know the rich really have not really struggled that much, but the middle class and the lower class that are more of color have struggled more in any given times, the Great Depression, and we have a African American in the White House, and believe it or not, they think that man could be our savior. He can't be our savior. We have to educate ourselves. Do you know we're more illiterate today than we were way back when in the 50s and the 30s and the 40s? Because education of money, education of reading and finding out where your money's going is not as important as it used to be. Remember back in the day, everyone used to save a little bit, have saving bonds or this, that, and the other thing, or really manage and watch their money. Why have we lost our way with that?
Well, you know, it's really, we've had a lot of social, what I call mind shifts. You know, we've got into America, we've become very materialistic. Did you know that even a couple of years ago, our savings rate in America was negative? And, you know, people have decided that instead of delaying gratification and saving up for things, that people just put it on plastic. And so we've been, and that's why I always say, that's what we have to fight. We have to fight the people who are trying to change the way we're thinking, and we need to be aware and awake for that. It seems like we are in this deep sleep, in a trance, in which we're not awake to what's going on to us. Listen, Mr. Z, I travel, whether it's barrios or ghettos or lower socioeconomic areas throughout the country, and I'm seeing young women who are out working for the first time and just got, you know, jobs making just above minimum wage, and they've got Chanel purses. They've got Coach purses. I'm seeing young guys who, you know, they're not going into. I bought my first suit, I think, at JCPenney because I couldn't afford it, and that was like extravagant for me. They're going into Nordstrom's. They can't afford $1,000 suit, yet they're buying $1,000 suit. And they're buying, you know, they're not buying just, you know, shoes that they're inexpensive. They're going to, you know, buying $250.
Yeah.
Ferragamos. Why? Because they're watching television, and in television, they're looking at the very dysfunctional way of how people live. And let me just share with you, you know, you see a lot of these shows, like the reality shows, like The Housewives of Orange County, or this and that. Most of them are going broke. If you go back and take a look at them the following year, they've lost their homes because of their extravagant lifestyles, and the economy's gotten them because they don't have any savings. And so we need to go back to, like you said, we got to go back to the foundation. But you're right. If we don't do something and we don't wake people up, and they don't get them, they're not going to change. And everything, you know, I don't need a crystal ball to let you know what somebody's life is going to be if they're not saving any money. I really don't. Now, right now, if somebody's out there 30, 40 years old and they're not saving a dime, I don't need a crystal ball to tell you. I don't need to be a psychic to tell you what kind of lifestyle they're going to have when they're 60, 70 years old. They're going to have this really terrible lifestyle where they have no choices, no options, and life's going to suck for them. And what needs to happen is they need to basically say, look, I can't get caught up with all this materialism that's out there on television. The only way out is through education. what does your show do? It provides a level of education. And let me just share with you, I believe in radio shows and television shows because that's what the young kids, that's what everybody's listening to or watching, because people don't read books. You know, I'm writing books to people that don't read. And it's only through, you know, avenues like you that people say, well, you know, I'll give this guy a try and they'll buy. But, you know, what happens to me is I get sponsors who will buy books.
Hi, I'm singer-songwriter Fremont John, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. You know how short time really is, and you don't have time for all the negativity and email chit-chat that's out there on other talk radio stations.
I totally agree with it.
BBS Radio is your source to a world of inspiring information you can use. You're living on a timeline, and you need information you can use to help you live your dream. Request my song Timeline right now. Buy my CDs at FremontJohn.com or CDBaby.com, and don't forget to friend me over on MySpace or Facebook. This is Fremont John. Thanks for listening.
And I'm going to tease you because of this. And I want you to come to the show on Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time here. Lewis, tell me something. Is credit scores important, or should we just forget about our credit scores today? And give me a tease on that when I can continue this conversation on Sunday. Is credit scores important?
Yeah, credit scores are vital. Let me just share with you right now. I've got four people that I'm working with that are trying to refinance their homes. Remember, I don't sell any mortgages or anything like that. And I will share with you, they've got terrible credit scores, and they're getting super high interest rates. And I will share with you on Sunday how much it's really costing them over the life of the loan. And it's not a little bit. So I'll share with that with you on Sunday.
Okay. So thank you. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z. Lewis, thank you very, very much. I really, truly appreciate you being on the show today. And tell us how to get in touch with you again, please.
It was a pleasure. You can go to you can email me at info@lewisbarajas.com. You can go to the Facebook page, lewisbarajas.com. You can go to amazon.com and take a look at my books. Put in there My Street Money or Small Business, Big Life, and you'll see all my books there. And that's the best way to get a hold of me.
All righty. Thank you, Lewis. This has been the Clever Minds Radio
talk
Show.
Sunday.
All right. All righty, buddy. You guys, folks, have a blessed day. I will talk to you again on on Friday, and you have a great day. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z. Hope to see you guys real, real, real soon. All righty, guess what, folks? Get a smile in your heart. It's Wellness Wednesday. I want you to be happy about life, okay? Please do that for me, okay, folks? And again, love you, everybody. You have a great day. Great, great day. This has been Mr. Z on the Clever Minds Radio Show. You take care, and I'm about to say bye.